The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, it's a human tragedy beyond our imagination. Every 30 seconds, someone becomes a victim of modern-day slavery, with an estimated 27 million people in bondage to either forced labor or sex trafficking. It affects women, children, and men across the globe. My passion is to rescue as many of these victims as possible. That's why we've partnered with Christine Kane and her A21 program, which is working to prevent trafficking and to restore the lives of those caught in this unbelievable darkness. Well, Chris, this is not a very pleasant subject, but thanks for coming and talking to us about it today.
Thanks, Joyce. Yeah, it needs to be talked about for sure.
So tell us about A21.
You know, we started 8 years ago. I was in an airport in Thessaloniki, Greece, and I saw all of these posters of these young women and children, dozens.
That were missing.
Missing, 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 missing. And I was astounded. I went on to find out they were the alleged victims of human trafficking, which I have to admit, I didn't know it still existed on the earth today. Like, people literally sold into sex trafficking or forced labor trafficking. And I knew that we can't do everything, but I had to do something. I couldn't. Once you see, you can't unsee. And once you know, you can't unknow. And so I thought, we've got to start somewhere. Out of that, I had an extensive conversation with David. And, you know, both of us were like, we don't really know much about this, but let's
David
start.
David being the head, our son,
yes,
and the head of our mission.
That's right,
program.
The heart of the a hand of hope. And so right from the beginning, we decided we were going to start. So then we began an extensive program, and which has become a global network now, helping to rescue young children and women from sex trafficking and to put traffickers in jail, to prosecute. So we're involved right from investigation, prosecution, to restoration.
That's good.
And so it's been powerful.
That's good. You know, the Bible talks about bringing deliverance to the oppressed, yeah, and bringing judgment to the oppressor.
There you go.
And I think that's important, because it's great to deliver a girl that's been hurt, but it's even better if you take the one that's hurt her, get them out of the picture where they no longer can hurt.
Oh, well, totally. And you take a trafficker out of the network, you've probably saved another 250 girls that,
yeah,
have come under that. And you know, Joyce, it's one thing to be an ambulance, and we always will be at the bottom of the cliff cleaning,
right,
up the mess.
Yeah.
But if you can put some nets at the top, so that,
yeah,
means help to change legislation, help to educate. I'll give you an example. A nation like Greece, this is the government statistics, 71% of all the men use prostitutes. Prostitution is legal. In fact, a rite of passage often for a 13-year-old boy is that his grandmother will take him to a brothel. So it's a supply and demand issue. If you look at it economically, I mean, it is incomprehensible to,
yeah,
us that,
right,
this actually,
yeah,
exists. But in many nations of the earth. And so what we have to show is that these girls are not choosing to do this. You know, a lot of people go, well, that's just what they want to do. There are systems of oppression where girls are lied to. They are literally forcibly taken,
right,
and then sold into brothels, and they've got no way of escape. And oftentimes, in some of the countries, if we're not there to change the law, if a girl goes to law enforcement to try to get help, she's then deported as an illegal immigrant, as if she's a criminal rather,
right,
than a victim.
Yeah.
So you've got to systemically deal with this. You've got to change laws. You've got to change the thought process of kids in school who think, when I'm 13, I'm going to go and visit a prostitute because that's what you do, to teaching people that human beings are not commodities to be bought and sold.
Tell us a little more about that, because you've got a curriculum now that's being accepted in,
yeah,
schools.
Everywhere.
Widely everywhere,
yeah,
that's teaching.
Definitely.
That.
And in a lot of, you know, in countries like the Ukraine and Greece and Bulgaria, we've been doing this for many years. And Australia, and now all over America. So we have a schools program called Bodies Are Not Commodities. And that, I love that whole thing. And, you know, I thank God for your ministry that has helped us put this together. It's been a lot of years in process to be able to make sure that it fits all the standards for the different curriculums around the world. But it teaches people who otherwise would not think this. It is amazing. And I think part of that is you can be shopping at a supermarket and you're looking at a magazine And you're treating bodies like commodities anyway. Right. I mean, you don't have to be a traffic victim in another country.
Right.
Sometimes I sit there and I have to explain to my daughters, these girls are being exploited. They've got barely any clothes on. It's like they're, you know, their bodies are a commodity to be lusted after and bought and sold. So it's teaching people that fundamentally we're created in the image of God.
Right.
A lot of that drives trafficking. Obviously, the pornography industry, it's a supply and demand industry. A girl, the traffickers we deal with, a girl is worth about 250,000 euros a year to the trafficker. Now, here is the horrific thing, and obviously right now on the earth, there's the largest refugee crisis in modern history. So not very far from even where some of our offices are, our staff have, because nobody's looking for refugees, nobody knows they're gone. So near the borders, they have found bodies that have what are called surgical cuts. So surgeons have cut them, taken their organs out, taken their eyes out, and then you traffic them on the black market. So it's a form of human trafficking. And because nobody, I mean, I could cry, but, you know, because nobody's looking for these women, these children, these men.
Yeah.
This is a time, you know, Joyce, whenever there is great darkness and great evil, wherever there is darkness, if the light doesn't step in, somebody's going to step in.
That's right.
If we're not there, a trafficker's going to be there, a drug dealer's going to be, someone's going to be there.
Well, and as far as our part with you, I'd like our partners to know what they're doing to help you. Because what we do is we help provide finances for you, as well as teaching materials to some of these
massive
homes.
Obviously, in the restoration process, once the girls come through, I mean, there's a lot of post-traumatic stress that is associated with this. We have to take them through spiritual, emotional, physical, and psychological help. All your teaching. You know, there is such a powerful connection when a girl that has been so victimized sees you, and, you know, your story is in its own right quite, you know, very dramatic. And the fact that Jesus could come in and heal and restore you, the power of testimony is, I see it. I just see the hope it gives to girls. Like, do you think he could do that for me? Do you think that could happen? And if they walk through the program, we see miraculous, where we have had top psychologists and medical practitioners say to us, they will never recover, because it's so, some of the stories I could tell you are very horrific of what is done to these young women. But to watch the Lord, with all the wisdom and the counselling, but the Lord do miracles. You know, we've got a case right at the moment. A girl came through the program 3 years ago, and it was her dream to go to university. And she came into one of these countries under the guise, they said, we'll help you to do that. Anyway, she was taken, brutally raped and abused. Well, she went through the two-year program, and she's now here in America in university and
That's
paying
awesome.
For her education to do that. I could give you numerous examples of girls like that are now either starting their own small business, because a lot of times, Joyce, especially in some of these nations, if they go back, they're either re-trafficked or they're ostracized from their family as if it was their fault. So we help to set them up. And this is where really the partner money goes, in a small self-sufficient business where they can bake bread and things that become self-sustaining.
Learn
and
how
they
to
employ
sew
their families,
do
all
hair,
of that.
You
so
know,
it gives them dignity, and it gives them value, and stops the cycle of being re-trafficked in their families. So when you look at the aftercare program, you look at all the legal costs. Currently, you know, it's very major. Those that are most vulnerable and at risk of being trafficked are the refugees. You know, 1 hour away, as only the Lord would do. When we started in Thessaloniki 8 years ago, all the experts said to us, it will be impossible. And I mean, we had secular experts do the studies, feasibility studies. They said it will be impossible because of the corruption in the government, because of the poverty, because there are no laws protecting the right. This is not a crime in Greece, so you're not going to be able to prosecute anyone. And it is very dark. It is obviously, it's the United Nations calls it the parking station of human trafficking, because it leads out of the Middle East into Western Europe, down to Africa. So in the midst of all of that, only God would have known that 8 years later, 85% of all the Syrian refugees would be crossing the border. 1 hour, I mean, I'm going to be there in a few days. I'm going to get in the car, drive 1 hour from my office, and there they are. And these people were dying en masse and just had nothing. So really what our partnership support here has done, and what your generous partners have done, it's miraculous, have enabled us to put down foundations of a simple thing like gravel, so that we could pitch tents for the UN and for the Red Cross.
Right.
And we could then what you have done is provided unbelievable water containers. Over 300,000 people have just used one of these. I mean, the UN has just ordered 50 more, and it's quite powerful. A simple idea of converting a container, having taps so people could have the dignity of washing themselves,
right,
coming
yeah.
off the boats,
yeah.
having a shower. We've got ones with showers and toilets. And that simple, small thing. And I just keep thinking, when Jesus says, you know, if you give them a cup of water in my name, if you give them...
Right.
And
yeah.
I feel that what will happen 5 years from now, these refugees, they're going to say, we were thirsty and the Christians were there and they gave us something
right.
to drink.
What
we
a
were
great
hungry,
opportunity.
And the Christians were there and they gave
yeah.
us... They'll never forget that. So that's really what it's doing.
You know, the power of partnership is really amazing
oh,
to
yeah.
me. And we partner with your ministry as yeah. well as hundreds of others around
yes.
the earth, as well as we have several of these homes ourselves
yep.
that we have started and fully support. And, you know, alone, we can only do a certain amount.
Right.
And so I know that, you know, people watching, this sounds so tragic to you, and it's almost overwhelming. So you hear it, and it doesn't even occur to you that you could maybe do something about it. But your regular partnership with us and RFU partnership with Chris's ministry, that's what makes the
yeah.
difference. It's hundreds of thousands of regular
totally.
People doing something.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to come to the point where the last thing that we're willing to do is nothing.
Brilliant.
That
yes.
no matter what little bit we can do, we're going to do the little bit that we can, but we're not going to do
Brilliant.
Nothing. And, you know, God raises up people and anoints them to do things like what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I don't have my own boots on the ground there doing that.
Yeah.
I go on missions trips, but I do other things. Our ministry has several of these homes, but I've learned that places where God is not calling me to physically work in that field, that I can still work in that field through our ministry
yeah.
helping them. And in order for us to do that, then our partners have to help us. And so we're grateful to be partners with you, and we've been with you in this A21 thing from the very beginning.
From day one, yeah.
And have contributed largely to opening some of the homes,
yes.
and we will certainly continue to support you because I really strongly believe in what you're doing.
Thank you. We couldn't do it without you. And I'm excited because you can be overwhelmed by the statistics and lose sight of the one, really what it's all about,
right.
that every life that is transformed. And I think of the little boy with the fish and loaves. You know, when the disciples went around and asked that huge crowd, what have you got? Everyone kept thinking, I can't do everything.
No, I don't have enough.
And so because I can't do everything, they end up doing nothing instead
exactly
of just the
right.
one thing. And the little boy goes, a couple of pieces of fish, a little bit of bread. And Jesus said, awesome, that's all I asked. What have you got? What do you have? That's all he asks for. And I have seen a whole lot of that, your partnership. We couldn't have dreamt of the influence that we have globally in terms of the government influence, the legal influence, seeing the girls restored, the children restored, putting checks and balances in place to stop it happening
yeah.
in certain places. And that can only happen by all of us doing it together.
That's right. I'm glad we're working together. Well, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you.
Us today. It's been great. And I know that the people's hearts have been touched. Stay with me and I'll be right back after this.
This is Edelmeni refugee camp on the northern border of Greece. You see the sea of tents, they're full of families. To my left, there is a food line that just goes as far as you can see, people waiting for hours. There's also something here that's quite wonderful, shipping containers that have been changed into a place for people to get clean, fresh water. They can prepare food, they can drink the water, they can even shower. So we want you to know that in this desperate situation, you are here making a difference. You're sharing the love of Christ in a very tangible way. Call the number that you see on the screen right now, go to the website, and stand with us as we help not only here, but all over the world.
For your donation today of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's audio devotional, Better Your Day by What You Think and Say. Contact us right now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.
Thank you.
The civil war in Syria is the worst humanitarian crisis of our time, resulting in a mass exodus of refugees. Many of them end up in refugee camps like this one, 1 hour north of Thessaloniki, Greece. This city is a main entry into Western Europe and has become a major hub of sex trafficking.
Many of the refugees that are coming into Greece are desperate. They're looking for a new life. They're looking for this hope, this escape from, absolute terror in their country back home.
And looking for someone, anyone.
Exactly. So if somebody comes up, it's like, I can help get you in, I can help get you across the border, you can trust me. Oh, it is like a perfect storm for a trafficking situation. As the dynamics within this whole crisis keep shifting and changing, we are constantly realizing that we're having to evolve and stay one step ahead of the game so that we can really try and head off these scenarios.
Can I ask you real quick, just so everyone is clear, define human trafficking for us.
Human trafficking is basically the illegal exploitation of people through force, fraud, or coercion. And it's basically human slavery. And it can take on many different forms for sex trafficking, labor trafficking. There's the illegal trade of selling of organs, even child soldiers.
The refugee crisis has created a new mission for A21, one that goes far beyond anything they've been involved with before.
We came here in August, September last year, and we walked in and we just saw absolute hopelessness. It was just a muddy field, farmland. There was nothing here. There was no water, no electricity. There was no tents or camps or bathroom facilities or anything. So
just a lot of people.
There was thousands of people here. There was like 6,000 people basically sitting under these trees around us, sitting in the bushes, trying to make little campfires. And so it was real practical. Actually, the real first need was gravel. And so we sat down with the mayor, and within 3 days, we had trucks of over 400 tons of gravel actually come in here and just be spread out.
So the people weren't just living in mud.
Yeah. And the second step was we needed water. I mean, it's just a life essential. And so there was no water in this camp. And we just noticed this shipping container sitting there as a storage unit for someone. And we were like, well, what if we build it inside a shipping container? Within 3 days, we had completed basically what you see behind us here.
Which is perfect because it had to be mobile.
Yep.
You were able to build it somewhere else and drop it here.
We brought in the water for the entire camp, and it's being used now for many different things, which is great. So it's just a blessing to the camp. You know, originally there was no electricity in this camp, so we were actually the first place where there was electricity and water and light. So we had solar panels installed, and we were able to actually have a safe place 24/7. We provide a shower solution that's basically also built inside a shipping container, and it fits 6 showers with hot water. And, you know, Joyce Meyer Ministry have actually been part of sponsoring several of these containers, and they're beautiful. What it's then also done for us is provide a platform for us to actually bring this prevention message. So inside our containers, you know, we have mirrors that you obviously can see yourself, but on these mirrors there's also a message that's actually warning about the dangers of human trafficking, warning about the dangers of smugglers who may have a hidden agenda. Bringing that in their native language and explaining it in very practical terms to them has been very, very effective.
Tell me about the estimates of how many children are missing from situations like this.
Well, it's a highly dangerous situation. I mean, Europol has just produced a report that estimates that around 10,000 children has gone missing in the last year or so. You know, there's 10,000 children that we just don't know where they are. We don't know what happened, but they're gone. From the refugee crisis. And they are just prime targets for human traffickers because they're always looking for the most vulnerable and those that are not going to be missed.
This is Ed Olmeni refugee camp on the northern border of Greece. And here today, there are approximately 10,000 people. That number fluctuates all the time with this constantly changing crisis.
You see the sea of tents. They're full of families from many different nations, many of them from Syria, who fled for their life. We want you to know that in this desperate situation, you are here making a difference. You're sharing the love of Christ in a very tangible way. We want to encourage you that there is something that you can do to inspire you to think about this being your family in this situation and to propel you to action. Do something about it today. You really can. Call the number that you see on the screen right now. Go to the website and stand with us as we help not only here, but all over the world, feeding the hungry, helping the needy, providing medical care. You make a difference.
And when we began, really, to be honest, not knowing much about human trafficking, we found out about the issue and realized we need to do something about this, and really wanted to rally Christians around the world to rise up and do something at this hour in history. And the more we got involved, the more doors kept opening. And honestly, so much has happened in the last 8 years that we stand on the other side of it and really can say, but by the grace of God, this is so much bigger than anything that we could have ever dreamt or imagined when we first began. It is crazy, the dynamics between the different countries. You've got different languages and different cultures, and we're seeing that the patterns of trafficking are different and very unique to the location. Greece is a transit country, which basically, if you can get a victim into Greece, it's in something called the Schengen Zone, which is an agreement between many Western European countries where you can travel without having to get your passport stamped as you go in and out of the borders. So if traffickers can get a victim into Greece, it opens them up to Germany, to Italy, going all the way up through. But then you've got places like Thailand. Thailand, you see children, little children being trafficked, and it is, it's an infuriating thing to actually witness. Then, for example, in South Africa, we have an office in Cape Town. The traffickers will use voodoo and black magic and a lot of weird religion to control and manipulate their victims. And then in America, typically, the victims in America are domestic victims that we're working with. A stereotypical scenario would be that a victim in America would have probably known violence growing up as a child, probably not had two parents in the home, and basically grown up being controlled and manipulated and not realizing it, just kind of this is life. So when you talk about restoration process, it's not like somebody who had a great life and then got tricked and trafficked and you restore them back to a life they once knew. It's kind of like hitting a reset button and having to really teach people value and worth from the ground up.
When a trafficking victim has escaped or been rescued, they can find help through A21 Survivor Care services around the world, including this beautiful home in Thessaloniki, all supported by Joyce Meyer Ministries partners. It's an opportunity for them to receive healing through God's love and begin their lives again with hope and a future.
Tell me what you see happen, the transformation, the change that you begin to see in people as they come in here.
You see the girls come in scared, and they find it so difficult to trust and understand where they are and why they're here and why we are giving them everything that we are giving them. And then you see day by day, they start slowly taking their guard down and just accepting and relaxing.
I'm sure that our viewers understand why we have to protect these women after all that they've been through, protecting their identities, protecting their stories, mm-hmm. Not being able to introduce a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know each one of them so well. You know their stories. Are there any stories that you can share with us so that we can help understand? Mm-hmm.
One of our recent stories, she arrived. She had a contact who was going to help her get across the border and just get across. But instead of that, she was found trapped in a house, raped again and again, abused over and over, just until she was broken enough to not have a voice anymore. And at that point, they would basically use her as a prostitute in one of the cities in Greece. And just make thousands and thousands of dollars in profit out of this one girl's life. Mm-hmm.
And you had the opportunity to connect with her. How did mm-hmm. that work?
She was able to escape. She found the door unlocked, which is one of those divine moments where you say, days and days and days, the door has been locked. What happened that one day? We don't know, but she was able to open the door and run, missing the moment of the traffickers catching her, really just by a few minutes. She was able to return to one of the refugee camps. In the refugee camps, she shared her story with one of the staff there that we have trained these past few months,
right.
About human trafficking, about how to see the signs of a victim of human trafficking. And then that staff member called our hotline and said, you know, I have this girl here and I believe she's been trafficked. And that's how she was able to get to come to our house.
Many times, especially in these Middle Eastern countries, we as Christians haven't been able to get in. We haven't been able to actually bring light and hope to these people. And now it's like they're coming to us. And if we look at it as in that light, if we look at it from that perspective, we have such an opportunity like never before to reach a people group that we have never been able to reach before like this.
Yeah.
And so we just need to be really thinking through and really prayerfully going, all right, God, how can we play our part? What's in my hand? What can I do at this hour in time and to really, really make a difference?
Tomorrow, our team gets on a plane and we head back home to friends and family. The people that we met here have no place to call home, and they've lost so many loved ones. It's a very sobering thought, and it reminds me of that question that Jesus asked, who is my neighbor? Our neighbor is the people that God puts in our path, who we can touch and help. And we know now that there are things that we can do in this situation to make a difference. These are our neighbors. The question is, what will we do?
Well, I'm sure that you've seen and heard things today that have really touched your heart. And I know that in seeing these things that you want to do something about it. I mean, that's just, we want to help in situations like this. And you can help by just praying about what God would have you give and send a very good offering marked for missions to help us continue doing the works that we're doing around the world and continue helping people like Christine. You know, when you give to our missions outreach called Hand of Hope, you're not just giving to this ministry, but you're also partnering with hundreds of different works around the world and feeding children and educating children and bringing deliverance to these trafficking victims and just all kinds of amazing things, providing medical care and just a lot of different things for people that are very, very needy in many parts of the world. And let me just remind you that what you make happen for somebody else, God will always multiply many times over and bring it back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So do your best. Jesus did His best for us, and today we can do our best for Him. Thank you.
For your donation today of any amount, we'd like to send you Joyce's audio devotional, Better Your Day by What You Think and Say. Contact us right now, 1-800-727-9673, or go to joycemeyer.org.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.